You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Neil Williams, only on LA Talk Radio.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Much better.
Oh, man. I just so energized wanting to hear the rest of the song. Hey, everybody. Well, welcome to the show, Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron along with Neil Williams. We got a great show lined up for you today. We're going to talk about sponsorship and what that means and how to find a sponsor, characteristics of a sponsor, and kind of why that is probably one of the cornerstones of recovery. So we'll definitely dive into that here in a few minutes. So, and I know Neil will be taking the lead on that. And but other than that, it was a good week. How about your week, Neil? What's going on?
It was good. It was strangely warm.
It was.
So there's that. But yeah, the everything we missed during the blizzard was right there waiting for us when we got back. So
yeah, man. Oh,
I just went right through the weekend and into the next week. I really didn't stop. So
yeah,
we're just another day now.
Yep. The only thing that I knew I wasn't going to come out. Well, of course, down the office was flooded. That's not me, but my house, there's this contact switch on the compressors. And so the power would go on, off, you know, all that time with the rolling blackouts and it wore out the contact. So man, thank God I got out for under $500 and there's anything else. So I'll take it, man. I'll take it. So
yeah, I was the same. I had a couple $100 worth of repairs, but compared to what some other people are facing, that's nothing.
Blessed beyond belief.
Yeah.
So, all righty then. So we've talked a little bit about attitude and attitudes in recovery and, and we're going to be in a position here real soon where we're going to be dealing with folks that have discharged from a treatment center, a drug treatment center, a rehab of sorts. Some of those people will have sponsors. Some will not. They will have just gone through their rehab. They might have gotten a temporary sponsor when they were in rehab. Maybe not. Just depends. And also, we may be having folks, we may have a few folks as time goes on that are beginning their recovery journey. And of course, those folks won't have a sponsor. So why don't you explain to our listeners and viewers about sponsorship and maybe a little bit about your journey or a little bit about what that is and why that's important.
Okay, sure. So first, for anyone who doesn't know what a sponsor is, typically in, certainly in any 12-step program, I know that there are some other recovery programs that have sponsors as well. And because of my experience, I'm strictly going to speak on 12-step sponsorship because that's what I do and that was my experience. That's not knocking any other program. It's just that's the one we're going to talk about today. A sponsor is someone, and they even refer to it as hiring a sponsor. A sponsor is not a paid individual. Sponsorship is volunteer work. It's actually part of the program. So in the 12-step program, the 12th step is carrying the message to other individuals. That is sponsorship. So if you're working the 12 steps, and if you say you actually work a 12-step program, you should be on one of the 12 steps. And the 12th is to then be sponsoring other individuals. So a sponsor is someone who takes someone known as a newcomer. That's what they're called. We refer to them as a newcomer, someone who's new to the program, who has not been in the program or has just come out of substance or alcohol abuse. So now they're sober. They've come into the rooms and they then need what's called a sponsor. A sponsor is going to show you how the program works and basically be your tour guide on this new journey of sobriety and recovery. So that's what a sponsor is. You want me to go right into the benefits of having a sponsor? Okay. The first and most, it's very important to have accountability. Your sponsor is your number one provider of accountability. He or she is going to hold you accountable, because your sponsor, you're going to be going to your sponsor with all sorts of stuff. If I call my sponsor and I say, you know, let's say I'm on probation, and I call my sponsor and I say, you know, my probation officer is doing this and they didn't tell me about that and blah, 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 blah. And I'm just not happy about it. They're wrong. They're wrong. It would be my sponsor's job to say, hey, whose fault is it that you're on probation? Well, it's mine. I mean, I guess I'm the one who broke the law. That's right. It is your fault. So who are you really upset with right now? Are you upset with your probation officer, or are you upset that you're on probation? Well, I guess I'm upset that I'm on probation. Who again put you on probation? Well, I guess I did. Right. So who should we be upset with right now? I guess that would be me. You have then been held accountable by your sponsor. And it's that redirection that it's actually very, very key, because something like that is happening in our lives every single day. Every single day, there's these little thoughts and these little redirections that we need. And when we have someone like a sponsor there to kind of be a sounding board and let us know sometimes you're not thinking straight. So accountability, I think, is the most important thing. In addition to situations like that, another instance where a sponsor is going to be really important for holding you accountable is working the steps. So part of a 12-step program is working through these steps, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I used to volunteer at a treatment facility for, I guess, 5 years. And I would go in there and we'd be having a meeting, and there's these guys and we're talking about the steps. And so I'd always ask them, because before I do a meeting, I want to know where everybody is in the room. Cause these guys are coming in, it's like a 30 to 45 day program. So they're coming in and leaving. And it's also parole and probation are sending a lot of these guys. Some of them come off the street, like they're homeless guys. So you see a lot of guys coming in and out. Mm-hmm. So when I go to a meeting, I'd say, where's everybody at? Is anybody working the steps? Okay, if you guys are working the steps, what step are you on? And that's how we'd pick a topic usually. And so I'd always have someone who'd say, yeah, I'm working the steps. Who's your sponsor? Oh, I don't have one. Is she working the steps? Well, yeah. Okay, well, the steps as they're laid out, it's a necessity to have someone to work them with you, because one step, for instance, is taking an inventory, and you're going through and you're identifying character defects about yourself. To sit here and me tell you, Bruce, that I'm going to dissect myself and I'm going to be thorough and honest about the things about me that I need to change is laughable at the least. So it's real important that people understand that if you're going to work the steps, you need to have someone who is a sponsor to take you through those steps. It's a way to foolproof your system. It's not saying that anybody's a liar, but it's saying that from our experience, people like us, alcoholics and addicts, and again, I can speak from experience because I am in recovery. We tend to keep things a secret. We tend to avoid things. We tend to do that stuff. So it's just a way to keep, really, it's, I'm doing it for me. I got a sponsor for me because I know myself, and I know that I'm fixing to manipulate anything and everything I can just to get by. So that kind of accountability is important.
How much clean time should that sponsor have? I know there's no guideline. I know there's no, because you want, isn't part of that relationship, somebody who's kind of been there and done that and kind of maybe a little bit more experienced than the sponsee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's nothing in the book. There's nothing in the book that says this.
All right.
So this is going to be, you need to have someone who's worked the steps. That's the most important thing. But I've had, generally you want someone who has a good amount of clean time. Okay. Like if you have the option and there's someone that you get along with and is, you're vibing with them well, say you've got two people, one has 3 months sober, one has a year and a half, please go with the person with the year and a half just because they have more experience. But if I have a guy that I'm sponsoring, which this has happened more than once, and he's 6 months sober and has a new guy who's taken a liking to him and is looking up to him and is following him and following his lead, and my guy has worked his steps and he's doing what he has to do, and the new guy asks him to sponsor him, I'm telling my guy to say yes.
Yeah.
And I'm going to walk you through it.
Sure.
But yeah, generally when you're looking for a sponsor, find someone who's not 2 weeks clean. That's because then you're sponsoring each other, you know, and you're just clinging to life, hoping that one of y'all makes it. So
that's a good point.
But yeah, there's nothing in the book. There's a lot of meetings and groups that will tell. I know some people who tell their sponsees that they can't talk in a group. They can't speak for like a certain amount of time. There's sponsors who tell their sponsees they're not allowed to sponsor anybody for the first year. I'm telling you, man, people take this stuff too far and they make it about their personal opinions. There's nothing in the book. If there is, you find it and you show it to me and you put me on blast on social media, I'm fine with it. But there's not. Nothing says. So I'm glad you asked that question, though.
Yeah, no, it can be quite legalistic. And I tried to go into an open meeting in Austin, somewhere, anyway, Northwest Austin, and I didn't have a collared shirt on and they threw me out. It was a dress code violation.
Are you serious?
Yeah, as a heart attack. Yeah. So
in an AA meeting? I need to find this meeting. Now I want to go.
Of all places, Austin. Jeez. You know, but anyway, I'm sure they've changed since then.
Certainly hope so.
Crazy, crazy stuff. So it's a real important part. Now, here's the other thing, you know, smart recovery. You know, I'll say this, in the cognitive models, it does help to have another person involved in the other person's recovery to bounce things off of, whether you call it mentorship, which our friend Sherrod does, or if you want a recovery coach, which is stuff you and I do. Recovery coaching isn't sponsoring, but I've had people accuse me like, oh, you're just like a paid sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they wouldn't go see a sponsor.
Yeah.
And you know what? And the fact that, I mean, you and I are certified professional coaches, and the fact that, and I'm not saying for everybody, I'm departing from 12-step now, just a little bit, but not everybody's going to be in 12-step at first or at all, maybe not.
Yeah.
So they should receive a level of service that they don't feel comfortable with 12-step for whatever reason, which I can understand because 12-step is only as good as the people you're around.
Right.
You know? So yeah, it is. It is kind of like that. Same thing. Somebody mm-hmm. that's knowledgeable, somebody that can help you with your journey, somebody that is available, somebody mm-hmm. who has found success in the endeavors that you're looking into as well. and, you know, providing support, job leads, possibly, you know, whatever, other types of assistance. So the fact that money changes hands makes it a professional relationship, or it should.
Right. When the other thing is, because I've had, especially because I'm still very much a participant in the rooms and I still sponsor guys, I have people say, oh, you're sponsoring for money. Well, I'm not, first of all, because I'm sponsoring on aside from my business, my coaching business. But in addition to that, when somebody calls you and says, hey, we need your assistance, here's my family member, or it's for me, and someone's talking, they say, one thing I'm not okay with is a 12-step program. Tried it, it's not for me, and I don't want to do it. So if I'm sponsoring for money, technically I would have to tell that guy to kick rocks. I would have to say, well, go on then, you know, and that's not what we do. We don't just refuse to help someone. So it just doesn't line up.
And, you know, I think you talked about last week, hey, man, did you have a sponsor? Did you do service work? Some of the Five Alive stuff. You know, no. Well, then, man, you know, you really didn't. You weren't working a 12-step program per se. Right. You know what I mean? I mean, you thought you were, or you were working aspects of it, or you're exposed to it. So there's always that element to get the person to take a second or third or fourth look at it. Otherwise, we can go down this coaching, this recovery coaching path, and that's fine. Mutual, consensual, professional. Honestly, man, it's a better, because it is a professional relationship that provides a good boundary. I think a healthy boundary, and also, you know, one of my clients calls me, I'm not going to be all put out about it. Like some of these sponsors get put out, you know, what are you calling me at 8 o'clock at night for? Not all sponsors, but some, you know? And then they're hard to reach. They're harder to reach than a public defender.
When there's being a sponsor and a coach, there are some things I do over here that I would never do over here.
Yeah.
Like, With sponsorship, I've found myself talking about some very, very personal things with people that they would otherwise not bring up in a coaching setting. Right. And that as well, times and how you insert yourself in someone's life, you have to know the difference. And you just have to know the difference. But the other thing about one of the other benefits about having a sponsor is you want – people don't like to recognize this a lot of times, but all the individuals in a 12-step program, recovery as a whole, we tend to have a lot of very similar stories. And I know everyone wants to know that they're their own person and they have their own story, and that's true. None of us have the same story, but so many of us have very, very similar stories and circumstances. And when you find a sponsor who's had experience and worked with other guys like you, you're going to find that they know how to handle these situations better than we do going through them for the first time. When a sponsor's like, oh, hey, I've walked like 6-7 guys through the same thing, let me help you. You get that experience that you don't have yourself.
Right. That's a good point. You know, so, and it helps to have somebody who's been there and done that, like you said, but there's value in somebody who has experience and training in helping people either stay sober and lead productive lives through other means. So as I've indicated before, you know, I always would tell my, you know, offenders in prison, if you took this out of my hand and you'd stay out of the penitentiary, would you take it? Whether because I'm white or a staff member or whatever, would you still take whatever I had to help you stay free? The answer should be yes. You know, it's just like, yeah, man, you know, I can only relate to people who've done what I've done. I mean, it helps, but sometimes there's value in another person as well. So anyway, so it is really interesting balance there, but we want to be able to, and we are able to pivot and talk to people that are taking different paths to their recovery, whether it be SMART, 12-step, or even a spiritual program.
Right.
You know, lean on Celebrate Recovery or something else, or another type of program. So, okay. Well, good, man. Anything else under benefits?
It's going to get you introduced to the network. They're going to know a lot of people in the recovery network. And that's a big thing, is getting plugged in, finding opportunities to serve, and meeting other people who are in recovery. And your sponsor is going to be able to do that. I give out phone numbers to people almost every day just to get them connected to someone else around them. They need friends. They need another sponsor, whatever. That's just what we do. We just get people connected, and it's really, really helpful for a newcomer.
Absolutely. It's a great point. Mm-hmm. It's a great point. All right. I like the safe place during a crisis that the sponsor or your coach, but the sponsor is somebody that you can trust, possibly trust.
Yeah.
Talk to them.
I'm sorry, I did leave that one out.
That's okay.
That one's big because there's a lot of folks in this situation who don't necessarily have someone to talk to. I have a lot, or a dysfunctional family setting, or even the relationships. They may not have anybody, and they had a relationship and that was their one person, but that person may be using, or they may not be with us any longer. So a lot of folks in recovery are missing this support network, this healthy group of individuals that we find in the rooms.
Right.
And so naturally, especially with the younger guys that I sponsor, I get a lot of questions about relationships and how to handle that stuff. Or if they're young parents, they may have not had a parent themselves growing up. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of these folks have real life questions that may not even pertain to staying sober. They are just trying to live life. And so a sponsor wears a lot of hats. And so it needs to be someone that you can trust. And once they feel that way, they're going to come to you with some stuff.
Well, you talk about living life, you know, and I think this is good across the board, is that living life on life's terms. I know I'm a big bumper sticker nut on Expect Miracle, Easy Does It, stuff like that. But anyway, but yeah, living life on life's terms and having that life experience, or helping that person live that way. Man, that is so rational.
Yeah.
Man, what a rational statement that is.
Yeah. Living
life on life's terms versus mine or yours, the person. So yeah, man, that was a good one.
And I have a guy, I've been sponsoring him for, it's been a couple years. I love this guy. He makes me laugh. Every time he calls, he makes me laugh. He will call me from behind the steering wheel he's a machine operator sometimes. So he's on the job and will call me because he just is livid and needs to cuss and scream about his supervisor or coworker. And I let him go.
Yeah.
If I'm driving one client, I let him go for 5 minutes. Are you done? It's like, yeah, I feel better, man. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you later. Love you, man. Hey, man. Sometimes that's just what he needs to do. And I'm here for you.
That's right. And that's so much better than holding it in and using over it later. You know,
that's exactly right. Because that happens all the time,
all the time, all the time. And then the reason, well, why didn't you do that? Well, I don't know about anybody that I trust who really understands me. Well, there you are,
you know, right.
And, you know, and so, I mean, that's why this last person that I picked for you to sponsor that you graciously, I thought, okay, man, no, just, you can identify with this guy. You know what I mean? I was telling the sponsor.
See, we're having a blast. We are. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah, man, I appreciate that. But yeah, so I was like, yeah, man, no, you trust me. He, well, has he ever been to prison? Yes. You know, whatever. You know what I mean? So I was like, dude, stop.
He needed some credentials.
He's like, no, just anyway. But you know what?
Well, and I'm glad you said that, because that's another thing. When you see someone, your sponsor is someone who's been where you're at, and they're successful. You need to see someone who is successful that you can directly relate to,
right,
so that then that clicks in your brain and you register that this is actually possible because this guy did it. Like, yeah, this guy is just like me, and he's doing fine.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Man, and you know what? You can't beat that. And some people need that extra push to – it's almost like – you get to see the miracle in front of you, right? It's just not like me telling somebody, hey, you know, Christ rose from the cross, right? Like, yeah, I wasn't there. You know what I mean? But, you know, you have to have another element there to get into that. But right? Like you're a living example of what you've done, and myself and Sherrod, we're living examples of products of what we've came through.
Right. Right?
And living to see another day with relative comfort, you know, and minimal disruption. So
I can you want me to segue into qualifications? Sure. There are qualities or characteristics that you need to look for in a sponsor. That one right there, not just relatability. When you're looking for a sponsor, you certainly want to be able to relate to the individual, but when I went in and I was trying to figure out, you know, who's going to be my sponsor, which I had a friend refer me to someone. He was like, hey, here's the guy you need to meet with. And I trusted this friend. But when I met him, I immediately looked at him and asked him about his life. And I watched how he operated. And I recognized that he had the things that I wanted. And I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about stuff. I'm talking about this guy was relaxed. He was at peace. He was happy. And he was not out of sorts. He didn't seem like he was anxious. And he was perfectly happy to be there with me, helping me. And I didn't know why. Like, I couldn't. Like, why the hell are you happy to be here with some dude off the street who's banged up, and we're sitting at IHOP drinking coffee and you're sitting here teaching? Why are you doing this? This is free. I'm not paying you for this. And I learned that he had the things that I wanted. He was happy, joyous, and free is what they call it. And so find someone who has the countenance and the demeanor that you wish you could have.
Nice.
Because when you see that, that's how you tell. And you'll hear stories of guys who are in recovery when they're out in public and they come across someone, end up in some exchange in the store. And just through conversation, you're like, you in recovery? Did you happen to be what they say is, are you a friend of Bill's?
Yeah.
And that's like the code. The guy, so I was getting set up with some SEO stuff for my website. The guy on the phone says, are you a friend of Bill's? I said, yeah. And he's up in Wisconsin. He was like, I've got 90 days. It's the guy who worked for the company who was servicing me, but that's just stuff that happens. So it's easy to tell when someone's living the program. If someone's pissed off all the time, and they just don't look like they're happy to be there, and they're not talking to anybody, do not ask that guy to sponsor you, please.
Right.
That's one. Find someone who has what you want.
But let's talk about this for a second. A lot of times in treatment centers, people are there for 30 days, whatever. They're busting their butt just to get through the step four in 30 days, which is hard to do, right? I mean, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That'll be another show. and they're clamoring for a sponsor, they'll go for a temporary sponsor, and it's just whatever schmo is on the, whoever's going to answer the phone at the 24-hour club that's on a list or whatever, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you got to be careful that.
Okay, if you're in treatment, work the steps. Get whoever you can get. When you get out, pick someone that you're going to do life with, like it's a relationship for real.
There you go. There you go.
Not in a weird way, but if you're in a situation where beggars can't be choosers, just choose and get to work.
There you go.
But when you get out, then get more serious about, is this guy the right fit? Let's do it. I'm about to do a match.com on all you son of a guns, and we're going to figure it out.
You know, oh, man, that's going to be really interesting because you're going to be in a position here pretty soon where you're going to be working with people for 90 days or more after discharge from a facility. And either they'll keep whatever sponsor they had or they'll get a new temporary sponsor while they're in sober living environment, or they might even utilize you.
Yeah.
And then they're going to leave. Some of these people will be in the state of Texas. Many of them won't. I see that many of our folks are going to, substantial amount of our folks with time are going to be from out of state. So then they're going to then need to, you know, and so, and that's where you can, as a coach, say, look, let's talk about your sponsor choices now that you're 60 days in Toledo, Ohio. And I'm just pulling that out of my ear right now. Say you're in Ohio and the person goes from Texas to Ohio, and now they're, you know, and so, hey, let's talk about, you know, we can still, you know, chat about your new sponsor, you know, and, or what's your new plan now, or part of your release plan to the release plan. So, anyway, so that's going to be part of our release plans, is who is going to be part of their life in the recovery capacity, whether that be a coach, mentor, or sponsor. So it'll be fun stuff.
And that's another, that brings up another thing that's important when you're looking for a sponsor. If this is to start working the steps, it's important to have a sponsor who's in person, who you can meet with in person. I have some sponsees that are in a different city. We don't see each other now, but these are guys who have worked all their steps. They're still working the steps. They're now helping other guys, and they're well on their way in the program, and they have a firm foundation, and that's okay. My sponsor lives 4 hours away. He's been my sponsor for 7 years. So now it's not so much of an issue. But when you're working 1 through 11 and you're meeting weekly, which is with my guys, we're meeting every week. And we're through steps 1 through 4 in the first 2 weeks if they do what they're supposed to do. We don't mess around. And it says, and that's how I learned to do it. And that's how I think you should, because the book talks about doing it that way. Now, again, I'm not going to
A time, but, per se.
But it's important for those to meet in person because, again, accountability. I can't smell alcohol through the phone. And I'm not joking when I tell you this story. I was working steps. We were working on eight. We were working on step eight, just writing down the people you have harmed. And this guy comes in, and we're going through it. And we're reading out of the book, and he's nodding off. Like, he's just straight nodding off. And I'm like, hey, bro, you all right? It's like, yeah, I just took some allergy medicine. I was like, you know, I used to do heroin, right? Like, I know the effects of heroin when I see him. This guy was on heroin, meeting with his sponsor face-to-face. There's no shame in this thing, dude. People will show up like that. So if you think that it's safe to sponsor someone over the phone when they're new to the program, I beg to differ. I beg to differ.
You know what's so funny about COVID? So I have a sex offender treatment license here in Texas, and a lot of my fellow people see, you know, everybody we see, a lot of them are on criminal probation for life or 10 years or 5 years or whatever. Yeah. And so they're saying, well, do you still do in-person visits? I said, absolutely, because of that very thing. And I'll have you know, this one therapist, a contemporary of mine, had a Zoom meeting. Guy pulls his penis out and starts and traumatizing the whole group.
Dude.
Just I'm like, what were you thinking? You have a group of 15 sex offenders on Zoom and you didn't think everybody was going to be, okay, well, I'm at home.
Yeah. Out of 15 of these people, surely someone's going to lose it.
Well, COVID brought out the worst in people. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. As much as it brought out the best. So,
well, and that was why we saw such a spike in mental illness and relapse, overdose. Yeah. Well, there's no accountability when you're at home by yourself. It's dangerous.
No, man. I mean, we saw, you know, it's a dangerous place. You shouldn't be there alone. And so it's so funny about being in person. I know it's kind of a random perverted segue into something else, but yeah, you got to see these folks in person. And, so we're going to have that. We're going to have personal at a minimum of an hour a week with a personal coach or sponsor. Mm-hmm. That's built in, to the program. And, whether they like it or not, that's going to happen. So we're going to do this the right way. So I like this next one about being, I didn't mean to cut you off, but make sure we get to being the same gender.
Gender. I was going right there. Oh, especially because you brought up such inappropriate actions. I'm still just flabbergasted. Yeah. I guess I'm not really that surprised though. After a while, especially when you spend enough time around unique individuals, we'll call them unique individuals, you start to just not be surprised anymore. Yeah. And you've got decades of that.
I can tell you, I saw that coming, but no.
Yeah.
No pun there. So I just had that one. Sorry. No, I had that one off. Thank you. Thank you very much.
That joke was way better than your dad joke last week. So you've just fully redeemed yourself with that nice little pun.
That wasn't a joke. It was kind of a real thing. But the last part was a pun. But yeah, but being the same gender is a lot, because when you're not the same gender, then the relationship and the energy and the focus and the material and your thoughts about your sponsor can drift into areas that could sabotage your recovery, or you're not with a clear thought stream.
And a lot of times, now this is proving itself to not be as, that it's not true 100% of the time, but relatability. And if I'm working with a male, generally, if he and I have the same sexual orientation, he's going to understand my experiences, because there's a part of step four, and it's called the sex inventory. You actually don't have to talk about sex, and I don't talk about sex with my guys at all. All we discuss is the nature of the relationship and how you treated the individual. So you don't really talk about anything graphic. However, if I'm talking with a woman about this stuff, it's borderline inappropriate. And it's also, I'm not going to get the perspective I need to have. I need to have another man telling me that's not how a man treats a woman. That's not right. And you shouldn't be doing that. Let me explain to you why it's wrong. And so, but I have sponsored guys who, had a different sexual orientation than I do, and it was perfectly fine. And then I've known guys who are dating other guys, and they wanted to have a female sponsor. So there's also situations where you get someone and there's no one else around to sponsor them except for a lady.
Right. Right.
If that's all you got, do it.
Sure.
It's better to have a sponsor than not to have a sponsor.
That's right.
And if that's what you're comfortable with and you genuinely feel that way, then do your thing. You know, I don't think the right people in the program are not going to mess with you. They're going to be happy that you're sober and trying to get your life together. And that's how it should always be. But yes, if you have the option, please be looking at someone who is the same gender as yourself.
Sounds good. Sounds good. All right. What happens if, what are the risks if somebody doesn't get a sponsor?
I think the number one risk is impulsive behavior, because what I tell my guys, we call them sponsees. So I'm the sponsor who's taking someone through the step. This individual is the sponsee. Something I always tell them after we meet and we establish that relationship, I'm now your sponsor. Here's your homework. I'm asking you to do this for the next so many days before we meet next. I always end on this note. If anything comes up and if something happens or you're having a rough day, pick up the phone and call me. Because early in recovery, you're not necessarily always thinking on your toes. There's a lot of emotions going on. You're dealing with a lot of conflict. And it's really important to have someone with a clear train of thought and outside perspective to go to before we make these rash decisions. Because a lot of people all of a sudden, whether it's I want to call this person up and apologize to them, I want to call my wife who's left me and try and get her to come back, I want to call CPS and give them a piece of my mind because they took my kids, I'm going to tell this PO where she can take that pin and shove it. All of those things, you need to have some support and some guidance. And so those are top of mind risks. The other thing is, if you've ever looked at the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it's not 20 pages. There's 164 pages of nothing but solution. So if you don't have someone to guide you through that and kind of break things down and explain to you what conceding means and explain to you what it means to work with others and explain to you what it means to make amends and what it means to have resentments, to harbor resentments. I didn't know what any of that stuff. Yes.
Does that mean I should go back to my drug dealer and make amends for the times I ripped them off?
Hey, I've walked people through these. These are fun. These are fun. I've had some people say, well, I robbed this guy. I really need no. Hey, what's this guy still doing? Well, he's still slinging dope. Like, I wouldn't go to that house, man. And because there's also a clause in there. It says, unless this would cause harm to myself or others.
Right.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, man.
I'm glad you said that because step 8 and 9, this has happened more than once too. Me and a buddy of mine, we have coffee every Sunday and he's in the program. And we were talking and I was telling him that it happened so many times where I would get a call from a guy who's in the treatment center where I would volunteer and he'd call me and be like, hey man, I just want to see if you'd be my sponsor. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I'm ready to go. What day do you want me to come up there and we'll start the steps? It's like, okay, well, I'm already on 9. I made some amends this week. I'm like, oh, which amends did you make? Who'd you call? And what do you mean you're on 9? You can't be on 9. We haven't even started yet. He's like, no, I'm doing it by myself. Like, please stop. Stop where you're at. I'll be there in 5 minutes.
Right. Help is on the way.
Yeah. Making some phone calls.
Yeah. You know, the lack of guidance. I like what you said about that. You know, having that guidance, particularly early in your recovery, is crucial. Having that support and guidance is crucial. And the research, not to sound like the government here, but the research really does bear that out, that having that support piece is integral to your recovery. So the accountability, guidance, and support. And that's pretty interesting because the word guidance is kind of antithetical to coaching, right? Because coaches really aren't supposed to give guidance.
Right.
In the pure sense of coaching, good coaches ask good questions. What kind of negative self-talk are you dealing with today? This and that and the other. So that's why this is really interesting between the coaching, guidance, and mentorship. So, and plus we're talking about recovery and abstinence from addictive chemicals. So, I mean, so look, it doesn't kill anything at all because the person that's in front of me is usually asking me as a goal, how do I stay sober? How do I stay free? You know, right. So that's a goal. Well, if that's a goal, then there's action steps to that goal.
Right.
And so what right. do you think those are? And then I'll fill in maybe. I'll invite you to consider a few other things.
Right.
Right? And that's okay. That's coachy because I can invite you.
Yeah.
to look at some other things here. Yeah. I've used that, and the guys were like, man, that was pretty slick, that invite thing. Yeah, that was pretty non-defensive of you. Like, that's slick. That's slick.
And you know what the program does in a similar way? They say these are suggestions. Right. Nobody's telling you to do anything.
No.
These are just suggestions.
Right, right. So, yeah, wow. The instructions involve more than one person when you're working the steps. That's a good point.
That's yes. good.
So, and then the risk of wasting valuable time. Your time is valuable and you don't want to waste it. Having that person alongside you, sponsor, et cetera, can help you make a better use of your time. You're going to be a good steward, a better steward of your time and not get lost or sidetracked or down, possibly, hopefully not, down some sort of rabbit hole. And so...
Here's a quick way
yep.
to explain that to somebody. If you were to go into an art museum and you have 1 hour and there's a tour guide for free who said, I will show you this whole place in detail and explain everything to it, make sure you get what you want out of it. Or you can just go figure it out. But you only got this much time and it's going to take you much longer. I'm taking the guide. That's a sponsor.
Hey, man.
That's your sponsor.
Man, what a... What a good way to end the show right there, folks. 1 minute left. So
there you go.
This went fast. Well, folks, that was another great show here on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. I'm glad you were with us. Hear a little bit about sponsorship and what that might mean in recovery context. Next week, we'll bring you some more fantastic material. We have some guests along the way and some fun stuff. So, Neil, tell our listeners how they can find us on social media.
On social media, we are at concierge_coaches, and that's on Instagram, and then the Concierge Coaches Show on Facebook. And then you can find me at ElevatedLifestyleAcademy.com or Elevated Lifestyle Academy on Instagram and Facebook.
Beautiful. And I'm at Concierge Coaches. Yep, ConciergeCoaches.net. I have a little senior moment there, as well as on our somewhere I'm involved in our, I put up one post on our Instagram page this morning. So you can
see it. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, finish that off there. That was taken in the big city of Dumas. That was genius from a possible sponsee and a mentor. So anyway, that was good stuff. So see that on our Instagram. It's a very cognitive sentence as well, so I'm always a big fan of that. All right, folks, we'll see you here next week on the Concierge Coaches Show. Take care. Have a blessed week. We'll see you then. Take care, everybody.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Neil Williams, only on LA Talk Radio.